Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm your host, Ted Rodrigo, and right alongside me here is our co-host, Legends Tour player and LPGA professional, Cindy Miller. Cindy, welcome.
Thank you, Ted. It's great to be here. Spring is on the way.
I know, and before I forget, happy St. Patrick's Day, March 17th.
Absolutely. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Thank you. And yesterday, of course, I celebrated my 51st birthday. Little bit older on the downslope, on the other side of 50. Now I can no longer consider myself 50. I'm 51. So thank you, by the way, to all those, including you, Cindy, who put a little post on my Facebook page yesterday throughout the day. Thank you very much. I appreciate all of the birthday wishes. And I'm just glad it wasn't St. Patrick's Day, even though I got a green cake every year from my mother for probably about the first 25 years of my life. I'm glad I don't have to get that anymore. But anyways, happy St. Patrick's Day for everybody listening out there. Cindy, before I get on to what's happening on the show today, let me just remind everybody that we are live every Tuesday morning at 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on blogtalkradio.com. And a simple way, obviously, if you haven't found us yet, to go up into the search key, go to www.blogtalkradio.com and type in Women of Golf, and you will get right to the show live. And also, if you miss any of the previously episodes, you can go down, scroll down a little further on the page to the on-demand section. You can get some great shows that have been on in the past. They're all auto-recorded every week, so even though we're live right now, they do get recorded, so you can pick them up later if you happen to miss it. You should tune in. Last week, we had Chris Cheddar on, the winner of the Walgreens Charity Classic. It was a great interview last week. And also Jane Blaylock and Sue Fracker from the Legends Tour were also on last week. So make sure you go back, and if you missed it, and check those out. Also, if you want to speak to us during the broadcast, you can call live at area code 347-945-5855, and I promise this time I'll pick up. I understand we had a caller last week and I missed the call, and I apologize to him for that. We have a very special guest coming on today. Her name is Debbie, I believe it's pronounced Watkus. It might be Watkus. I apologize if I don't have that correct. And she is the president and founder of Golf for Cause, and she's going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. But if you want to email us on the program, you can send your emails to either womenofgolf@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments about the show, or if you're interested in coming on the program, if you're in the golf industry, whether you're a player or somebody that is in the golf business in general and you're interested in coming on, you can reach Ms. Miller at cindy@cindymillergolf.com and send that request out to her, and she'll do her best to fit you in the schedule. And if you want to connect with me personally, you can do so at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. Cindy, a lot happening. Of course, this weekend is the Bay Hill, is the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. Excuse me. And what's going on with what was going on last week with the guys? Did you catch any of the tournament?
I did. There was a three-way playoff between Jordan Spieth, Sean O'Hare, and Patrick Reed, and it was quite eventful. It was proof that your short game is very important because they started to hit some funky shots on the way in, and up and down. It was a short game clinic, to be honest with you. Jordan Spieth ended up making a 22-footer on the second playoff hole to win the tournament for his second PGA Tour win. It was pretty exciting. It was great to see Sean O'Hare play well. He's been in a little bit of a slump of late. And Patrick Reed, as we all know, has been playing pretty well all year long. So it was really exciting and thrilled that Jordan Spieth made that putt to win.
Yeah, it's always interesting, I think, when you have a playoff like that. Unfortunately, I didn't get most of it this week, and I had a lot going on, but I did catch some of the highlights through the news afterwards, and certainly always kind of nice to have an exciting win like that, much like Chris said in her tournament the week before. She had a playoff with Julie Inkster, of course, and ultimately went to win the Walgreens Charity Classic. So it's always kind of fun when you have that sort of a sudden death, if you will, at the end, and especially when you get to see that the guys and the gals really sort of focus on some of the real talent that they have in the short game and other things. But you're certainly right, certainly an honorable win, and congratulations to Mr. Spieth for winning his tournament. And I know they're all heading out to Arnold's tournament in Bay Hill this weekend. Going to be firing up here on Thursday for, I know, what's sure to be an exciting tournament. Tiger, of course, is not going to be in the tournament. I think he sent out his apologies to Arnold in person, but always good to see who's going to match up in Arnold's tournament as well. It's always a fun event.
I think there's a special feature on the Golf Channel tonight about Arnold and about how all the lives that he's touched. So you may want to tune into that on the Golf Channel, because Arnold Palmer is a class act. He's amazing. You know, I've got a funny little story I can tell you, share real quick. When Alan was 11 years old, the Pensacola Open used to be in Pensacola, Florida, and Alan grew up at Pensacola Country Club where they played the tournament. And Arnold was his hero, and he was walking down the 18th hole, and Arnold saw him, and Alan offered Arnold a piece of gum, a stick of gum, when they had sticks of gum. And Arnold took the piece of gum. And when Alan got into his first Masters as an amateur, he used to go over. When you get invited to the Masters, you get to use the golf course for a year for free. So you become a member. And Alan would go over and have his clubs worked on by, I forget the man's name, but it was at like an old club repair shop. And the guy said, "Well, Alan, who do you want to play a practice round with? Who would you love to play a first practice round with?" And he said, "Well, I'd love to play with Arnold Palmer." And he said, "Well, I can make that happen, because Arnold happened to go to this guy as well and get his clubs repaired." So wouldn't you know that Arnold and Alan were partners, and they played a match against Dave Marr and, oh, my God, what's his name? The flashy guy.
Oh,
what's his name? You know who I mean? Oh, my goodness. I just went brain dead. But anyway, they get to the first tee, and Arnold goes, "So you want to play a match?" And Alan looked up like, uh-oh. And this guy goes, "Yeah, what do you want to play for?" And Arnold said, "Well, we'll play you for anything from a candy bar to a Cadillac." And Alan's eyes got real big, and Arnold kind of hit him on the side. He goes, "Don't worry, I got you covered." And he goes, "Well, let's play for $5. And they did, and they won the $5. Alan did not make a par. He made 5 birdies and 4 bogeys. They played 9 holes together. But what a great guy Arnold is. And he's just
a
sweetie.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned earlier, tonight they're going to obviously talk about a lot of the people that Arnold touched, in the world. And I'd be hard-pressed to find anybody both on and off the golf course that he hasn't touched. And it was interesting because I watched something a while back about Arnold Palmer. They may even touch on it tonight. But he was it wasn't just a great ambassador to the game of golf. He was so recognized. His brand is so recognized around the world. I mean, you go over to Japan, you go over to all parts of Europe, and it's not just Arnold Palmer. I mean, he did commercials even before, that you wouldn't even pick up on. And they weren't all just golf commercials. They were different products and things that he was promoting at that particular time and supporting. But it was just very interesting. You know, obviously golf is his big thing, but he just touched so many lives, and people just remembered Arnold Palmer, I think, just above almost anybody that you can imagine.
Yeah. The other man's name was Doug Sanders. I don't know why.
I know. I could see him, but I couldn't put the name there either. I know it's, well, you know, like I said, I turned 51 yesterday, so I'm getting up there, and my memory is not quite as sharp as it used to be. But, yeah, that'll be a great thing. So definitely tune in tonight to the Golf Channel and watch that. And anything you can watch about Arnold. He's just such a great guy and a great man, and certainly, you know, you really – I don't think there's anything really negative about Arnold Palmer that you could even come up with. He's just such a nice guy, just friendly, very giving of his time. You know, used to always be interacting with the galleries. Just a great ambassador for the game. I mean, a lot of great players on the tour, but some really stick out as just being approachable. And Arnold Palmer, despite his success and his stature in golf, as one of the true legends of and pioneers of the game, is just so very approachable, and it's evident when you see him on the golf course. But
yeah.
You know, but lots of great things always happening in golf, and we're just waiting here for Debbie to come on board, and she should be here shortly. But in fact, I think what I'll do, Cindy, while we're waiting for her to come on, is I'll just read a little bit for the audience just about Debbie. Debbie, as I said, is a speaker and author and consultant, and is the president and founder of Golf for Cause. Which she's very passionate about, helping others turn golf into gold, enriching their lives both personally and professionally. She's a true advocate of the sport, and she's a founder and managing partner of the National Women's Golf Alliance, evaluating and certifying golf facilities for how well they roll out the green carpet, and obviously especially for women. And past president of the Women in Golf Industry, she donates a portion of the proceeds also of her book, Get Your Golf On, which sounds very interesting. Your guide to getting in the game, and she donates a lot of the proceeds to the Marilyn Smith Scholarship Fund, advancing the opportunity for girls to play golf in college. So just a true leader and pioneer in the sport, and just really believes in helping others. And I think I actually see her on board here, so let me just introduce her. Good morning, Debbie, and welcome to the Women of Golf.
Good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. You're here, of course, with me, Ted, and with Cindy Miller. Debbie, let me just apologize first. This is my own fault. The correct pronunciation, is it pronounced Waitkus or Watkus?
Waitkus. Wait before you wait. Cuss is how my father-in-law told it to me.
I just wanted to make sure. I thought that's what it was, but we weren't 100% sure. So I apologize for not clarifying that. So thank you, Debbie Waitkus, for joining us this morning. And Cindy, I know you've had some questions there that you wanted to ask Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie. Thanks for being on the show. We're thrilled to have you here.
So oh, I'm glad to hear. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. It's awful early where you are, so we really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about what Golf for Cause really does.
Well, we like to say we help people turn golf into gold. And everybody defines that gold a little bit differently. For some people, it's in a company. It could be about relationship development or team building or your own just doing those deals, you know, developing those relationships for business. Or for a foundation, it could be outreach or fundraising. And at a personal level, it could be just, you know, doing something healthy for yourself, learning something new, connecting with others, adding that balance to your life. Everyone has – golf just brings so many gifts. It enriches your life in so many ways that when you first start out, you have no idea what you're in for. And so that's kind of what we do, whether it's programming on how to get golf into your toolbox, whether it's just a golf mentoring program for an introduction, whether it's a team building program, a golf tournament, or just consulting with how you can leverage from a business perspective, how can you leverage the power of golf in order to achieve your objectives. So we do a little bit of everything. Jill Streit, who's an LPGA Class A who works with us, she says, well, we do everything but cutting the grass.
Well, that's good. That's perfect. So do you go seek events, or do they come and ask you to come help them?
It's a little bit of both. We do some work with some of the DMCs and hotels where they have a client group coming in that needs something a little bit creative, or they're not quite sure what to do with the women when the golf tournament's going on, and they're tired of just offering up the spa. And so that could be an angle. We have people who have just through word of mouth come to us. It's a variety.
What a great thing. Now, you also do something with the Marilyn Smith Foundation. Do you run her events for her?
I do. We are co-tournament directors, and we are about to launch our sixth or seventh here in the Valley. It'll be in November. And Marilyn is, as you know, one of the co-founders of the LPGA, and she is very passionate about giving back to the game and growing the girls and creating the opportunity for them to be able to play, which is something that there was no money for her when she was starting out, and she was really held back from what she was able to participate in because she would tell you that her dad was always told, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, that your daughter's not your son. And
yeah.
So her scholarship fund, we typically give out $25,000 scholarships a year. And last year's tournament, we netted $150,000. And it's all through the LPGA Foundation that the process of the applications for the scholarships go through and then are awarded. But that's Marilyn's passion. And it's even more than that, Cindy. She's a huge letter writer. I like to tease her that she's keeping the U.S. Post Office in business because she's constantly writing cards and letters. And, for example, when Brittany Lincecum was playing in that one tournament, the major, this past summer, and she really had an opportunity to win, and it came down to the end, and she faltered on the last two holes. Marilyn wrote a letter congratulating her and reminding her that, you know, she put herself in position to be there at the end. She'd made so many decisions and so many great shots that she had executed to actually play so well that it's going to be a matter of no time that she actually gets one of these under her belt. She just lifts up everyone around her, and I feel so blessed to have her in my life.
Yeah, she is amazing. She's an awesome woman.
Yes, she is. We have the Founders Cup tournament starting actually today here in the Phoenix market. We've got the pairings party tonight. And it's really nice to see Marilyn and Shirley Spohr, because the two of them come every year to, you know, kind of get the kudos and the appreciation from the other players that you may pave the way for this to happen.
Well, and you know, it's funny. I believe our generation, if you will, was very aware of the founding members because they were just a few years before us.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that this generation has really no idea who some of these founding members are or the former great players like Joanne Garner, Kathy Whitworth, Shirley Spohr, Marilyn Smith, you know, all these, Peggy Kirk-Bell. They just have no idea what a wealth of knowledge and wisdom is still alive. And it's super that they have this Founders Cup tournament.
Yeah, I think Mike Wan is a genius. And bringing in some of the other pioneers and recognizing them every year at this tournament is really something else. I think this year they've got Judy Rankin and Sandra Palmer and Donna Capone. And Nancy Lopez, of course, will be around. Patty Sheehan will be around. Betsy King will be around. Pat Bradley will be around. And it's nice. And they're accessible. They're approachable. And it really there's a lot of love in the room, if you will. And, you know, between the fans and the younger players and newer players having an opportunity to learn a little bit. Cindy, I don't know if you're aware that Marilyn wrote a book as well called Half Clubs Will Travel. And 2 years ago, Mike Wan purchased the book and gave it to each one of the players. He wanted them
wow.
to know what it is to think like a founder and that they should taste a little bit of that history. It was really,
wow.
really a thoughtful thing
that
he did on his part.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Debbie, let me just ask you something real quick, just on a little bit of a sidebar here while we're talking about, you know, really sort of embracing women in golf. I had the pleasure about a week ago, I spoke to a young man who just this year has started up a golf program at his high school in his area. And I asked him, you know, why, because the school obviously has been around for a long time, why they're just sort of starting it now. And he said, really, the funding has been a big issue. What are some things do you think that we can do as a society? I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot of sports in school, colleges and things like that, but it always seems to be more the football or even the baseball. And golf seems to, in some cases, in certain regions anyways, tends to be a well afterthought. Is it going to be something that we need to engage the corporate world in getting more involved and help get the funding? Because obviously the education side of it is very strapped right now for a lot of things. So after you know, these types of programs are not always available. What are some suggestions do you think that we can do to really help, and particularly to get some of these young ladies involved in golf?
Well, Ted, it's a really good question that you ask. And I think in my experience, I'm a latecomer to golf. I wasn't on my radar screen. I was an athlete growing up, and I didn't think that golf was a sport. So I think that a huge part of it is the invitation. And I think you and I and Cindy, we are all charged with saying, you know what, come to this event with me. Come to this tournament with me and watch. Come, you know, do something. And, in fact, I had an email the other day from a woman, and it just sounded like she needed to meet another friend of mine. And so I invited them to this one-hour ladies' clinic that happens at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And they were like, yeah, all right, man. And so to be able to actively do something together where you can forward a relationship rather than just have a glass of tea or a glass of wine is something a little different. There's also a new website that we have as a resource that you can refer anyone to, whether they play or aspire to play. It's for girls and for women. And it's, I would say, it's almost like the Switzerland of resources. It's called golfforher.com. I don't know if you're familiar or not. Cindy, I believe that you are. And
yes,
it's a great place to invite someone to go and look. And there are interest stories. There are resources for getting into the game. And I think it's a great tool that anyone can walk around with and say, go there. You know, let's go on the website together. But I think especially for girls and especially for women, because we tend to be more focused on the relationship than on the winning, if you will, that we need to be invited. We need to have our hands held and welcomed in. And we're all charged with thinking about that coworker, with a girlfriend, a spouse, a daughter, a niece, a granddaughter. It's up to us to welcome in that those new players.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it's certainly starting to happen, and I guess maybe, you know, as time goes on, maybe it's just my impatience, but I just want to see it really, you know, listen, I know the impatience is probably more on your side than it is my side, but you know, it's just, for me, there's just so many opportunities that golf, I mean, I've played golf, as I was bragging about earlier, I turned 51 yesterday, so I'm getting up there. But
happy birthday.
Thank you. I wasn't doing that. I promised to solicitate a birthday wish, but thank you very much. But, you know, I started thinking about it. You know, I started playing golf, what I say seriously, when I was about 7 years old. My father had taken me out a little earlier than that, but I really didn't know what I was doing. But I started to really gravitate. So I've played for a long time, so I understand the benefits. I've used many times over the years, I've used golf as a business tool, and I understand that but you're right. A lot of these kids out there, and especially the girls, don't understand really the value that golf can play in their life. And it's just, again, as I said, in the educational side of things, they just don't have the resources. It's hard enough even to get teams in some of the college schools now, let alone in high school. And I think the younger that we get some of these kids introduced to golf, the more that they're going to, you know, it's not going to be 30 or 40 years down the road before they get introduced into it. We need to get them in an early state. And I just think that there's some real opportunities out here for the golf industry, but also for the corporate world to really get them engaged. And I'm not sure how the, you know, how it's going to happen.
Well, you're right, Ted. And there are a couple existing. I don't know that I can change an educational system. And I know that it's a huge ship to move in all of our local markets. But most communities have a first tee program. Most communities have an LPGA, USGA girls golf program. And those are both amazing programs to endorse because you're right, it is our future generation coming through. And I think even, you know, for girls with Title IX, you know, now way behind us, if you will, so to speak, that accessibility or sports being on a radar screen are much more there than they were when I was growing up. And I mean, I was the oddball that actually was the tomboy, so to speak. And I don't think that's as common anymore. But the thing about golf, especially for women, it's not like we're going to wake up one day and say, boy, you know, today I'm going to learn to play golf and I'm going to go seek it out. That's more of the rare bird. But there would be a guy who would get up and say, you know what, I'm going to go and look at where I take my lessons. And so the welcome mat just has to be a little different. So if you're looking at for younger, you know, I'm not the huge X on all of the different avenues available, but I do know that the First Tee is an excellent program. The LPGA USGA Girls Golf Program is excellent. There are a lot of junior golf associations in various communities that a parent or an aunt or uncle can seek out. And then again, there's the golfforher.com website as well.
I think,
guys, I happen to be the director of the LPGA Girls Golf Club of Buffalo, and I can tell you that there are a lot of programs for juniors. I'm U.S. Kids Golf Certified, one of their top 50 teachers, LPGA Girls Golf. There's First Tee, there's programs everywhere for juniors. I think that the age group we're wishing liked it would be between 20 and 45. And I think, you know, with the EWGA reaching out to, you know, women via business and having to learn how to play for business, you have to seek wanting to play golf or you need to be invited. And if you're not, you're absolutely right, Debbie. You're not going to say, oh, wow, I think I'll go play golf today. It's not something that you want to do. It's something almost that you need to do maybe for business, which is what we both teach people.
Yeah, it's different, though, because we know we need it, but the main reasons that we don't as women go play is that we perceive that it's too expensive, that it takes too long, that we don't want to embarrass ourselves, and we have no idea who we would do this with. And those tend to be prominently the top four. And so, again, we're back into who drags you out. And, you know, I got dragged out by people that I worked with. Actually, I was their boss. And I was in San Antonio in January doing a course evaluation with three other women. I remember one woman had told me, we were all talking about how did we start to play? And one, it was the husband who, you know, she went out with the, he had basically said, would you do this with me? Another one was a coworker. And the third one had only recently started. She was exposed to golf in college. Some of her friends were playing, and she decided that there was no way she was going to do it because she thought it was about drinking beer, and she didn't drink. So there's that perception that held her back for so long. Until she finally, she came across EWGA, which is how she started. But we all need to be welcomed in somehow.
Let me just add something on a note that you said there, Debbie, about, you know, being embarrassed, and I can certainly understand that. But I can tell you firsthand, ladies that are listening out to the show this morning, I've watched a lot of men embarrass themselves quite a bit, and if they can do it, I know that the ladies can come up there and shine that much better. I mean, you know, it's difficult. You're right. Golf can be difficult for somebody that's never been exposed to it, especially at an early age. And if you're coming in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, like Cindy had said, it can be very daunting. And also, too, there's still a matter of the cost. For some, they feel it's a little bit expensive, even though there have been a lot of improvements in that area. And there's also the accessibility as well. There's still, unfortunately, accessibility sometimes isn't as, favoring to women as it should be. But I know we're making stones. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, when you talk about the money, I think that men and women in general have a different value proposition with money. And
right.
If I were to say, it's a $100 green fee, I might hesitate because I'm thinking, that could be a new purse, or that could be, an activity with my daughter.
Right.
We don't prioritize ourselves first the same way. And funny story, I went to play golf with a group of guys, and we got into the clubhouse and found out that our foursome had been paid for by the first person who showed up. And the guy with me is an attorney. He went over to the hard goods, and he picked up a driver, and he said, I always wanted one of these drivers. And he bought the driver just like that. It was $399, which he was expecting to pay for golf. And he said, the guy behind the counter said, well, if you don't like it after your lunch, bring it back. And, I would never think about spending $400 on a driver just suddenly, just like that, because, good golly, I saved my green coffee, right? But
listen,
it's a different mindset.
It's true, and I just think that men obviously there have been lady players, as Cindy can attest to, that have played for years, and they obviously have a different mindset as well. But I think the general public out there, you're right. I think that for men, it's not uncommon for them to walk up into a pro shop or something, and they see something they want. They're impulse buyers, where women are much more frugal when it comes to shopping and that. So it's definitely true. But there are a lot of great programs out there. I just think that the industry needs to spend a little bit more of its marketing dollars on promoting some of these great opportunities, as Cindy and you have mentioned, as opposed to that $400 driver out there. That's just my opinion. But
and they need to promote it in more of a crossover market, not just into those who are already playing golf.
Exactly. Debbie, you had mentioned earlier, obviously, Marilyn had written a great book, and I know you've been involved. You've written a book, Get Your Golf On, and also you were a contributor to Teeing Up for Success. Excuse me. Can you share a little bit about both of the books with us?
Sure, and I would tell you that Get Your Golf On is all about the invitation, because when I went out to play for that first time, I had no idea what the heck I was doing. Not that I really cared, but like you said, a lot of people are very intimidated. They want to go out and feel like they're putting their best foot forward. And the book is a collection of all those things that we didn't know that we didn't know.
Yeah.
And it's loaded with quotes from other women on how they got started or what the game has done for them and things along those lines. But it's everything. It has nothing to do with how to hold a club or how to swing the club, but all of the things around the game, how high to tee up the ball, what the teeing ground is, what is it about shoes and spikes, and what is a driving range, and identifying the golf clubs, and how to play with men, and what the 19th hole is all about, all the terminology and things that you wouldn't know unless you were out on a course. So it's a great prep. So it's a guide for getting involved in the game, and it's just very fun, wrapped with a lot of great fun stories. It's a quick read.
I think something too, just let me add very quickly about that.
Uh-huh.
I think that if women would appreciate the great social connections too in golf. I mean, I've seen a lot of women foursomes out there playing, and they're just having a great time. It's a great social thing. They may not always be playing their best, but they don't really care. They have a few good laughs along the way, and it's just a great time for them to get together. And I think if women could sort of see that side, because obviously women are very, very social creatures, if you will, even much more so than men in a lot of ways. And I think if they could see that aspect and focus less on the intimidating, like, it doesn't really matter if you go out and play your best golf. I mean, you can always learn that as you go along, but it's just to get out there and just have that social interaction and look at it as a way of connecting with other people. That alone is worth the $100 green fee, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And to your point, the book actually, Get Your Golf On, has two forewords in it. And one is by Marilyn Smith. and she talks about the doors and the opportunities and the just she pinches herself every time when she thinks about what golf has done for her. And the other is a forward by Pam Wright, who is an LPGA, was a tour player. And Cindy, you know Pam, don't you?
I do know Pam, yes. Great girl.
And yeah, she started playing when she was 4 years old, and you know, now she's teaching, and she really talks about how to keep your expectations in line, because we're not learning to play to go out on tour like she did. We're here about having a blast and really enjoying the game. And so that's kind of what she addresses in the book, to do a little set induction, if you will, because it is all about forwarding relationships and adding some balance and fun in your life. And the harder you make it for yourself, like anything else in life, the harder it'll be.
Right, exactly. I think, too, now you also contributed to Teeing Up for Success as well, I understand.
Mm-hmm. And that's a book that was – go ahead, I'm sorry, Ted.
No, I was just going to say, tell us a little bit about that as well.
The book is put out by the EWGA Foundation, and it's a collection of stories that were written by various businesswomen on what golf has done for them. And for me, I wrote my chapter about how I actually got into golf, what it has done for me. And you know, it's a really nice read. It's very inspirational in reading some of these different business leaders' stories. And Dottie Pepper has a chapter in there as well. And I think everyone can relate in some way or another to some of the content that these women have written.
Yeah, and I've actually I haven't read the whole book, but I have read parts of it now, and it is very, very good. And if you haven't gotten yourself a copy of it, it's certainly a very good read. Some great contributors, including yourself, Debbie, to that book. And there's just a lot of very insightful stories, and it really talks about a lot of the journeys that many of these women have taken and how golf has sort of helped along the way. So it is a fantastic read, and I'm going to get a copy of your book as well, Get Your Golf On. I think it sounds very interesting as well. So, and we'll tell, before we let you go in here in a bit, how people can, in fact, if you want, go ahead now, if somebody's interested in getting a copy of your book, how they can go about doing that.
Well, you can go to getyourgolfon.info, and actually, both books, the Teeing Up for Success and the Get Your Golf On books, are on that page of getyourgolfon.info. You can always go to amazon.com, but if you go to getyourgolfon.info, you'll get a signed copy.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Well, I think that's where I'll go and get mine. I definitely want that. Now, I was surfing through your website, Golf for Cause, and I noticed that you do a lot of work not just with the Marilyn Smith Foundation, but you do a lot of work with so many different, in fact, you have literally a laundry list of organizations that you help. Who are some of the organizations, and how are some of those relationships, have they been formed?
Well, one, good golly, so we've got two meetings with groups today, and one is the Better Business Bureau Foundation, and one is the Arizona Commercial Real Estate Women. We do an annual event. This is our 13th annual. We call it Golf Fiesta because it always takes place around Cinco de Mayo, which is a very festive time here in Arizona. And another organization is National Bank of Arizona, and National Bank in particular, they do a tournament every year and honor various charities in the community. And this past year, this is what's been really interesting for me, Ted, is this past year, as the bank's vision, mission, and value statements changed a little bit, we were part of their strategic planning team, and we modified the event so that it was in concert with that. They came out with their own foundation, NBAC Charities, and the tournament happens in December, so we call it Winter Swing. And this past year, what we did is we honored 18 different CEOs in the Valley who all came to the table with a charity of their choice. And their downstroke went completely to the charity. We netted about $200,000 for those various charities, which was really, really powerful. But we made a difference in the community, but also in working with the bank to have an event that reflects who they are, that was really huge. And that's really what I enjoy so much, because you can just put an event on all the time, but you want
right.
it to be memorable, you want it to be meaningful for your organization, and in their case, so their bankers have something to leverage and a story to tell and to really make a difference in the community.
You know, that raises a really interesting point, you know, when I think about it. And Cindy, I know that you can certainly attest to this with all of your experience in dealing at really a very high level in golf. But golf, unlike any other sport, really, I think, has stepped up more so when working with charities and helping a lot of organizations. I mean, certainly other sports do have causes in that they attach themselves to. But I don't think there's any other sport, and Cindy, correct me if I'm wrong, that really gravitates to helping charities better than golf does. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. The money raised for, you know, it's funny, the Legends Tour had a tweet out that they have donated more money to charities than we've played for in the 15 years we've been around.
That's probably true.
Yeah, it is, which is great, you know. Needless to say, we'd like to play for more money, but it's great that we're donating more money to charities than we're playing for. So, yeah, I would definitely attest to that statement, Seth.
Well, you know, it's interesting from my perspective in managing and putting together all these tournaments for organizations is that when you try to invite a woman to participate, she wants to know about the charity. That's one of the triggers. They get
right.
her over the hump to participate. In addition, if Cindy invited me to play, then I'm going to be more inclined because, of course, I have the invitation. But for a guy, they're going to come play because, you know, the buddy asked. And, oh, there's a charity involved? Oh, isn't that nice? And unless, of course, that charity is one that's close to his heart. But typically that charity is something that really pushes us over the top. And so I find it interesting that – when you say, Cindy, that with the whole Legends Tour, you guys actually give up more than you get.
Well, and I think just to add to that, Debbie, when it comes, the difference is really, you're exactly right. I think to add one thing further is most men would look at it as an opportunity to miss a day of work, which is a great thing for them to do. They just, if they can get a day off work, in a lot of cases, they'll do that or just get away from the house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're all for it. And that's true. There is a big difference. You're right. Women certainly look at things differently. And Cindy, as we talked about, I believe it was with Karen Palacios Jensen that was on here last year. And we've mentioned a couple times since, but she talked about some of the different ways that the LPGA is teaching women differently than men. That was something that hadn't been done for a long time, and they've recognized that women approach things differently than men, even in golf. So they're sort of changing their model, if you will, in handling that. So, you know, there is certain things, and I think that the industry has to start taking a serious look at that and say, okay, how can we get more, what's appealing to women? And I think the only way to do that, in my opinion, is to get more women in the decision-making process. Because they're going to know what they like better than, you know, somebody, and I don't care how much experience you have in golf, they're going to understand women's needs better, I think, than men are certainly going to understand it. And I think we're starting to see that happening now. But in my opinion, I think that's what's going to really change and get more women involved in golf. Just my 2 cents worth. Now, also, too, you do a lot of different speaking engagements as well, Debbie?
Yeah, I do, and in a variety of capacities. A couple of weeks ago, I was in San Antonio for the National Golf Course Owners Association meeting, and we were talking about best practices of things that facilities do to welcome in women. And you've got a piece of real estate, you've got a facility, and what can you do? What can you modify, whether it's in times, whether it's even some physical plant issues with key complexes and things, or even just in your marketing or your personnel training of teaching someone to say, thank you, please come back, you know, come back again.
Yeah.
So some of the work that we do speaking-wise is from an industry perspective. Some of it, next week I'm going up to Seattle for a women's Teeing Up for Success program, where it's all about how to get golf into your toolbox and how to leverage it for business. And then we also do some motivational speaking where we're using golf as a metaphor for life and business skills. And so it's a little bit of everything. It's just fun content.
Yeah, and you know, that's I think really, as I was just saying, what really it's going to take is it's going to take leaders such as yourself that are out there that recognize the benefits of having golf in your toolbox, if you will, and just sort of reiterating that to a lot of women. And obviously, organizations like the EWGA and the Women's Golf Alliance and some of these other great organizations, the National Women's Golf Alliance, excuse me, that are out there, and also you were past president of the Women in Golf Industry, in the golf industry, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these organizations are out there doing that, and I think with that combined with maybe more invitations, you know, getting some of these younger girls as well coming out to some of the events, coming out to some of the different programs that are available out there, and just exposing them, I think is really going to make a big difference here in the next few years. And it already has made a difference. And Cindy, I know you're doing a lot of, I mean, I don't know too many people that are harder working than Cindy Miller, let me tell you. You know, when we get talking here on the show and beforehand, when before we go live, a lot of times I'll say to Cindy, you know, what have you got going? And there'll be her own laundry list of things that she's doing. And I'm just thinking to myself, wow, how do you fit it into a 24-hour day? But she manages to do it. And you know, Cindy, you, as I've said many times, kudos to you for all the hard work that you do to help grow this game.
Well, thank you. you know what, Deb? You're doing an amazing job. Tell us what's going on this week with the Founders Cup and how is that, you know, we've got Donna Capone, Sandra Palmer, and who else did you mention was Patty?
Well, Patty Donna, Sheehan will Sandra. Be there, but the Judy Rankin is the other one that we're really celebrating and adding to the mix this year.
That's awesome.
Pat Bradley, Patty Sheehan.
Is there clinics for, are there clinics for the kids? Is the LPGA Girls Golf Club, I believe there's clinics going on.
Oh, it's huge. There are clinics going on, and not only for the juniors, but also for anyone. Anyone can come up and get a free lesson because they're doing, a lot of the LPGA professionals are getting their do you call them MRS credits?
Continuing ed.
You're continuing ed. So you're getting they can get the continuing ed points for teaching. So there are lessons that are happening that anyone can come and take. In addition, there are huge clinics for the kids, especially for the girls. And then in addition, especially during the practice round today and the pro-am tomorrow, there will be LPGA USGA Girls Golf shadowing some of the girls. And typically they're always on the 9th and 18th holes to help tend the flag and that type of thing. So it's very visible as far as what this tournament is about. A large percentage of the purse, so to speak, or the money that's raised from the tournament goes to USGA LPGA Girls Golf. And I don't think there's been one year yet that the winner hasn't turned around and donated a large percentage of her winnings to LPGA USGA Girls Golf as well.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there's a lot of activity going on. Tonight's the pairings party, and then again, tomorrow will be the pro-am. And it's, you know, these women are just so accessible and engaging. It's just, it's really such a wonderful tournament.
That's great.
You know, Cindy, you've mentioned here a number of times on the program in the past about, you know, with your exposure on the Legends Tour and having asked some of these great ladies that Debbie was just mentioning. You've said many times that just how giving that these women really are of their time and their energy to helping, whether it be a cause or helping to grow the game. And you said you've really never seen anything like it. Just tell a little bit more about some of the things that you've seen some of these great ladies do.
Well, it's just like Deb was talking about Marilyn Smith. And you wonder, one of the questions I would have for Shirley Spork and Marilyn Smith, do they have enough money to live on? Because there's, and this is maybe a strange question, but they're giving so much and they didn't play for very much money. So I certainly hope someone's helping to take care of them, because all they do is give.
Yeah.
They constantly they're giving. And I would tell you, I'll see it at Maryland's tournament every year, where both Shirley and Maryland sponsor, they're sponsors. You know, Maryland coughs up at least $1,000 for sponsorship, and then she can't help herself by buying all these little trinkets with a Maryland Smith LPGA charity pro-am written all over it. Just a little trinket she can. But just the amount that she spends at the post office. I know that the LPGA has some things in place for medical and things like that, but they're not set up the way that the PGA players are, that's for sure.
Right. And
which I think is very sad. I live with a PGA Tour, retired tour player who gets his pension. Mm-hmm. And he quit playing a long time ago, and I know it's the LPGA is very different. But, again, I know that they give so much in the Legends Tour event. I mean, Patty Sheehan, Pat Bradley, all these girls that I compete against are so giving of their time. And you know what it is? It's the saying that they had a while ago. Their new slogan is Little Girl, Big Dreams. And I mm-hmm. absolutely love that. And it's mm-hmm. funny because you mention what they do with the LPGA Girls Golf Club in Phoenix this week. I happen to, there's a girl that used to babysit for us who is a professor at ASU who has a daughter who's in the LPGA USGA Girls Golf Club who comes to Buffalo and takes lessons from me in the summer. And this little girl has been so changed by your event in Phoenix this week. I mean, she has stars in her eyes. So it's amazing what giving and looking in someone's eyes and giving them hope and yep. a dream of something they can pursue is absolutely priceless.
There's something else, too, and there's that sense of community. I mean, these women banded together at the mm-hmm. beginning and did everything, and they competed against each other, yet they were all best friends, and they were on a mission together. And this past year at Maryland's tournament, Patty Sheehan was the participating honoree, and she got up and she spoke and she talked about, I believe she had a fire at her house and just pretty much lost everything, and how her community, how this sisterhood of LPGA players from around the country all got together and supported her and helped her through this time, whether it was emotionally, spiritually, financially, and in different ways. And it's that community that, at Maryland's event, there's clearly a lot of love in the room. it's pretty special. But that's what it's all about. That's what we're bottling in, trying to create a better world, almost, if you will, through the energy and these relationships. It's really quite special.
And I think I need to mention something, because not all country clubs in the women's organizations are that warm and welcoming.
I mean,
there are definitely witches at every country club, mm-hmm. and they are not so, you know, encouraging and inspiring, and, you know, they're all out to beat each other. Not all of them, but there are definitely some. And that really turns people off. So,
well, and it's not too different from business, though, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's very similar in the business environment. But I think that, you know, you just got to nurture it where you find it. And look at how blessed we are to have women in the golf industry. These are all women mm-hmm. who work in different capacities. And we're there to prop each other up and to help. And there aren't other referral support networks for an industry out there that are like that.
You're absolutely right.
No, it's definitely you're both of you are right on the nose with that. It's, you know, the LPGA and all of these different organizations out there that have, you know, just done a fantastic job. That the ladies, you know, on the Legends Tour and Cindy and Debbie and all these other great ladies out there You guys just do a fantastic job, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why we wanted to have this show, really just to showcase some of the, not just some of the talent out there and the playing ability, but just to really expose some of the great women out there that are helping to not just grow this game, but just helping one another. And you guys have very eloquently here in this last hour just really brought some of that to the surface. So thank you both. Cindy, as always, thank you. And Debbie, particularly, thank you as our guest today. And I hate to say this, but we're out of time. Debbie, if you want to just take a few moments just to remind everybody if they want to get a hold of you or visit your website, how do they go about doing that?
Oh, thanks, Ted. Our website is golfforcause.com, golfforcause.com. And the website for the book is getyourgolfon.info. And it's just been such a nice, what a lovely morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Well, enjoy the Founders Cup, and I know you have some great memories to take away from this year as well. So thank you, Debbie, for joining us this morning on the Women of Golf Show. We appreciate it very much.
Oh, I feel very privileged. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week. Okay, Cindy. Some great conversation. What a true honor to have somebody like Debbie on the program sharing that and just all the hard work that she's doing to really help grow this game. And I can't emphasize enough all of the work, of course, that you do as well, both on and off the golf course to do that. What a great I love doing this. This is what I love doing, is just hearing some great stories and sharing that information with the public.
She's great, isn't she?
Yeah, kudos to you for getting her on.
And so caring and giving.
Kudos to you. Cindy, our time, unfortunately, as I said, is wrapped up. So let me just remind everybody to continue to join the Women of Golf Show. And we want to thank and take this opportunity on behalf of Cindy Miller and myself, this opportunity to thank not only all of the listeners from around the world that tune into the broadcast each week. We certainly greatly appreciate that, but also for the support from those that are coming on, like Debbie Waitkus that came on this morning and shared her time with us. We want to thank them as well. And it's through their hard work and participation out and on the golf course, on and off the golf course, that have helped to make this game so great. Thank you very, very much. Remember to tune in next week at 9 a.m. Eastern Time for another great guest. Again, best way to find us, go to blogtalkradio.com. Up in the search key, type Women of Golf, and you can join us live 9 to 10 every Tuesday morning Eastern Standard Time. Or if you're not able to join us at that time, you can just scroll down and visit the on-demand section and hear some great interviews, including this one here if you've missed us this morning. But on behalf of Cindy Miller and I, thank you very much, and we will see you next week right here on the Women of Golf Show. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you, Ted.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.